This week's episode of Still Untitled is made possible with support from Microsoft Surface, introducing the new Microsoft Surface Laptop 3. With its beautiful touchscreen, you'll experience stunning graphics with razor-sharp resolution, now available with a 13.5 or 15-inch screen. And with the latest processors, there's no project that the Surface Laptop can't handle. It's both light and powerful, so you can get more done on the go. Visit surface.com/laptop3 to learn more. That's surface.com/laptop3.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Nor.
Oh, welcome back, lads.
Thank you.
Good day, mate.
No, that's another one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Zoe Bell's going to come hunt me down now.
Or take you on a safety journey. Through New Zealand Air.
Does she do the... She does the...
She's on the... That's so good. Safety video.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
that. I can't
get
that song out of my head from the New Zealand safety video.
I miss good safety videos songs.
The New Zealand one, because, you know, the safety video really was pioneered by Virgin America.
Virgin America, the exciting and funny.
Yeah, well, they did one even before John M. Chu directed the
famous did the animated one.
They did the animated one
with the nun.
It's very Red Bull style animation. If you know, like the Red Bull commercials.
Oh, you saw it. You definitely saw it.
But that one broke ground for what was acceptable in terms of it being entertainment versus just pure safety.
Well, it used to, so there used to be this great bit where on Southwest Airlines they would say, "To use your oxygen mask, first stop screaming."
Really?
Oh, what? Yeah. No.
unsubscribe.
Really? They said it's important to put your mask on before your children. And if you have more than one child, choose your favorite. They would say all these.
They used to be real cheeky.
That sounds like a Fight Club thing.
It used to be very funny. And then somebody complained, and Southwest had to stop being funny in their safety videos because people didn't think that that was fun.
There was like a Wired or a Business Insider article about the process. It was like a multi-year process to get that Virgin America, the first video done.
Listen, I wrote to because the Lord of the Rings people did what do you call it?
The New Zealand Air safety video.
I have written to the New Zealand Air people and told them it's my lifelong dream to be in or to produce a safety video for them or anyone else who's listening.
Any airline.
I feel like I was born.
Not Ryanair.
I feel like I was born to record a safety video for an airline. And I think everyone listening is nodding right now because you agree.
You would be the best bad example ever. you could be the guy carrying like four bags down the aisle of the airline as you're trying to get on the slide.
You can't show all the bad stuff happening. It could be like each scene begins with me looking like Wile E. Coyote just after the bad thing has happened, right? The top half of my body is charred.
Well, there's in Vegas, the how to go through security video is all of the Vegas acts as of like 1998, probably.
They recently redid that.
Oh, they redid it?
Yeah, so the Star Trek stuff, the Klingons aren't there anymore. They do a skinny Penn and Teller.
At any rate, we just got back from New Zealand.
How was New Zealand?
New Zealand was amazing.
Boy, are your arms tired.
I don't know if you listened to the podcast last week.
I have not yet.
But within 30 minutes of landing, I was putting a fire out.
Oh.
When I landed in New Zealand last Friday, we talked about it on the podcast last week.
Oh, boy.
I literally was like driving with Richard Taylor. His trailer caught on fire. His wife showed up, threw me a fire extinguisher, and I jumped underneath and put a fire out on the trailer.
Wow.
Like a whole bit.
All within like an hour of
You're
landing in Wellington.
Paying your way in the, just completely new
fulfilling
way.
Every expectation about what it's like to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And Richard.
I've never seen you put a fire out. I'm really disappointed.
It was great. We finished off with Friday drinks with the entire Weta workshop. And I mean, we just feel so welcome. And it's the third time we've used the office over there as the production office behind Richard's place and behind Richard's office. It just feels like family.
It does.
It seems like you guys, it's like going to camp almost.
Well, it is warm and fuzzy, you know, and you know, we walk through and there's all sorts of amazing things going on. And like, there, you know, in a special effects shop, I can't talk about a lot of what we saw because a lot of it's proprietary for different projects that Weta is working on. But I will say that there are a few places more entertainingly absurd than an effects shop in mid-production. Because you will see just like lines of the most bizarre things you could imagine, whether it's babies or giant light bulbs, neither of which were at Weta, but, you know, that kind of thing.
I remember one time Norm and I went into a shop and we just saw a line of heads in various states of exploding for a stop motion thing.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's like the same head in frame one, frame two, frame three, frame four. And it's but I think
more so than any shop I've been in, and maybe that's it's not indicative of the shops in the past, because Weta is a very sprawling place.
Yeah. You it's know, a rabbit warren.
It is.
Of different shops and multiple buildings.
All the time. It's like multiple buildings connected. Like they bought this building, and open a door here, and things are being constantly rearranged. But, so it feels more like a college campus than anything.
Go ahead.
And, you know, we visit a lot of shops in LA, and in LA, a lot of shops are big open warehouse spaces because they're stored, and you see everything in one or two rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, molds are happening here, paintings happening here. And because it's like a rabbit warren, and because it's a university, it really feels like Hogwarts.
It also feels like the old Industrial Light and Magic because ILM was the same thing. It was George bought all the buildings on either side of Kerner Boulevard for like half a kilometer, and every building was one of ours. You know, that was the building you went to go get yelled at in. That was the building in which you had to push $1 million model across the street to go film with it. Literally, you'd be pushing $1 million model into traffic.
And so there are different departments. You know,
there's, to get it over to where
there are hundreds of people who work there, and not
over 400 people working right now.
And people are in their own groups, and so everyone has their own little stories, and we're getting glimpses of each of them. Every time we're in a different room, a different part of the shop, it's like we're popping into, you know, a Harry Potter movie.
Do they have like a family? One of the things I loved when we talked to David Chang years ago is I learned about the family dinner at restaurants where they sit down at the end of service and they talk about what went right and what did. I wonder, like, do they have a family dinner kind of equivalent there?
They do a monthly Friday drinks.
Okay.
And at this Friday drinks, you know, they make announcements about how the company's doing. They celebrated the 83rd baby born to a Weta staff member since its inception.
That's so cool.
83 babies.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
We're at three.
But, you know, it's that I just love going there. Every single time I leave glowing, I'm just so ecstatic, and everyone is so gracious.
We're renewed with mana. Like, it is rejuvenating. It's inspiring. It's humbling, for sure.
Oh, my God, it's humbling.
To be there. And it's really great to hear that many of those people feel the same way after we leave.
You know,
that's awesome.
We love sharing all the stories about how difficult and fun everything is. I got to do some... We shot some pieces of, like, I got to work with Jules, their head painter, on a rapid fire. What was that? 25 minutes tops?
It was almost an hour.
Almost an hour? Yeah, it felt like
time flies. Well, you had some,
and that was the thing. Like, we went with the plan because you've watched our people out there have watched our video series. Every time we've been to Weta, it's different. The first time we went, 2016, it was very specifically, we're covering these film projects they were working on. It was Ghost in the Shell. Mm-hmm. We had you embedded with Peter Lyne to make a sword. We did essentially a two-day, one-day build there. And then the last time we went in 2018, it was a full week for a project that we initiated, which was the short film.
So Farewell to Arms.
Very different parameters, right? This time it was under the umbrella of a project they're working on, but we said specifically, we want Adam to get his hands dirty. We want you to get involved. And they love it when you are working with them and not just interviewing them.
And it's very...
And you got involved.
I did get involved. It's very entertaining because each time they give me a person who hasn't worked with me, of course, they plot out themselves that I might be an idiot because they haven't seen me actually work. So they plan to get the thing done in case I turn out to be useless. And then each time spoiler alert, I turn out to be useful. And that's very entertaining.
It's very nice. It's a good feeling too, right?
We all like being handy.
It turns out being useful is good.
Hey, I watched a movie on the way back.
What'd you watch?
I watched Ready or Not.
Oh, this is a movie we talked about a little bit a few weeks ago.
Samara Weaving and...
Playing Margot Robbie.
They are cut from the same like mold. They're Jamie Priestley and
Jamie Presley.
Jamie Presley, Margot.
What was her name?
Samara Weaving. She is Hugo Weaving's niece.
Ah, she's terrific in the film. She has to carry a lot of. She has to carry the movie, and she does. And it's a movie about a woman marrying into a rich family that has a very... Spoilers. I think this is a movie totally worth spoiling.
The trailer spoils the whole thing.
Right.
You know what's happening
the rich family have a deal with the devil, and they have to conduct a ritual every time someone new is introduced into the family, and shit goes really weird and south.
Yeah, your typical billionaire deal.
It's a game. It's a lethal game of hide and seek that turns into much darker, even darker.
And great cosplay, too, in the bloody wedding dress with the bandolier.
With the bandolier shotgun. And the big elephant killing shotgun. Yes. Yeah. The movie is entertaining. It overstayed, many scenes overstay their welcome, I felt.
So when I saw the trailer for this, I assumed it was going to be kind of your Saw, Hostel, torture porny thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not at all that.
No, it's a comedy. It's a horror comedy.
It's a dark comedy, yeah.
More akin to, like, Very Bad Things.
There's a very, very much a Very Bad Things. I think it's less dark than Very Bad Things. It's more cartoony.
And she was also in a very similar movie called The Babysitter, where she plays, she's one of the murderers, but also very tongue-in-cheek horror comedy.
So I'll say that, while I found the film entertaining, it has a late third act turn in which somebody who's been unassailably good up till that moment turns immediately bad on a dime.
And you didn't like that?
They didn't earn it.
Mm.
Just full stop. The script didn't earn that moment. And it washed me out of the film.
It's been a while since I saw the movie.
Here comes the spoiler. Her fiance turns on her. She's in here, he says, when he realizes he's about to lose her.
Because
he didn't tell her that his family has a deal with the devil. And he knows now that that will make her go away. Yeah. And when she does, he will die.
Yeah.
He was not set up in any way to be selfish or venal.
I felt like it was foreshadowed in the early parts of the film, but not like the thing is, I wasn't paying attention to the fiance at all because I thought he was one of the least interesting characters in the movie.
Bingo.
Adrian Brody, his character,
Adam Brody,
from the OC. Yeah. The OC guy.
Okay. Never watched it.
You're the wrong age.
The bigger guy?
No, the brother-in-law.
The brother.
The
bearded brother.
No, the other one. The younger, the attractive, dark-haired, dark curly hair.
Yeah.
Does he have a beard?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember.
He does. Okay, he's married to the Olivia Munn stand-in. It was like every actor.
It was a lot of character actors
in
this movie.
There was a lot of character actors who looked like, get me an Olivia Munn type, is what it felt like somebody was saying.
Yeah. I thought his performance was really good.
I did too.
I thought he was very, like, he was the one I was watching him and Samara Weaving.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much exclusive. Like, that's what I cared about. The patriarch and matriarch were spectacular. You didn't think so?
No, I loved Annie McDowell. Annie McDowell was fantastic.
Yeah, always good.
Annie McDowell, yeah.
As the mom. Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoyed the movie. I found it light and it didn't earn its turn.
Yeah.
It didn't earn that third act turn, which upset me.
And if you like horror comedy, what we just spoiled does not ruin the enjoyment of the horror comedy elements of that movie.
No, because you turn up to see how bad things are going to get. Exactly. And also, it's surpassingly gory. This movie's a hard R.
Yeah. It's fun gory. Like, it's schlocky.
It's not like. But if you want fun gory, watch Free Fire. That's the movie to watch.
We've talked
about it. Cillian Murphy, Charlton Copley, Brie Larson, and Armie Hammer in a one-room shoot-em-up.
Oh, that sounds great.
Between the IRA and the Mafia in the 1970s.
That sounds perfect.
Directed it. Yeah.
Huh. Who's that?
Ben Wheatley.
Was
the guy who
isn't he an actor?
No.
Okay.
But sounds like a name of the actor.
It's beautifully directed. It's really, really fun. And it's
Knives Out was not on
Knives Out, which I still haven't seen because I'm an idiot, was not on the flight.
We maintain it's a good pairing if you have an opportunity to watch Knives Out, Ready or Not. Actually,
one is not – Knives Out is a much better film across the board. It is not a gory movie at all. But it is the same
there
kind
are
of
threads.
Like
yeah.
there is a
themes and big theme, houses
yes.
that
yeah. crazy rich people, big houses, bad things happen.
It's always fun to come up with good pairings of movies that don't always feel like they would
one of my favorite games.
Fit together. New Zealand Air, great.
New Zealand Air is the best.
Entertainment system. Mm-hmm. It's free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi.
What? And for an international
flight.
I don't know
if you found this, but on the way back, the Wi-Fi was fast.
Well, you slept for a lot of the flight, right?
I slept for 7 hours.
So on the way there, free Wi-Fi worked the whole time. Great.
Yeah, but slow as molasses. Slow. Felt like 14.4 dial-up.
We were on the same flight back, Adam.
Yeah.
And the Wi-Fi was off for the first 2 hours.
Ah.
Okay. And they have a system where they can not only do a PA announcement for everyone, but they can also do pop-ups. And so there was a pop-up that came on that says, sorry, the Wi-Fi is down. And I was like, oh my God, I prepared for this flight with the assumption that Wi-Fi is going to be up. I need my Wikipedia while I'm watching these movies. I need to go on my deep dives. How am I going to pass 11 hours of time? Yeah. But turns out whoever is running them can type into a keyboard. And so 2 hours into the flight, when everyone's asleep after the supper service, pop up, all caps,
I fixed the Wi-Fi! !! Please be gentle! !! And I was like, I need to grab my phone to take a picture of this! Because I could tweet it.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's so
I'll
good.
Be gentle.
Did it go away?
It went away. It popped away.
Oh,
but,
no.
You know, I just love that, you know, that's why it was fast, because no one realized the Wi-Fi was back on.
Do you think they rebooted the router?
Maybe.
Yeah, what's the plain Wi-Fi fix solution? So
not all heroes wear capes.
Norm and I, we had a meal in Auckland Airport. We had a two-hour layover in Auckland before leaving. And we shared a meal there. And by the way, po-po dumplings.
Oh, man.
In the Auckland Airport. I had some pork and shrimp dumplings with steamed pork bun. Those dumplings were legit as good as any dumplings I've ever had. They
really?
Were stellar.
How'd they stand up to Kingdom of?
I didn't have them.
Oh, you didn't have
dumplings. I had a burger.
Okay.
They were stunning. I actually was eating them so assiduously that it didn't occur to me to tell Norm they were amazing until I was done. And then I was like, Norm, these were amazing, and I should have given him one. It just didn't even occur to me because I was just plowing them into my face.
You know, you said, I'm in the middle of composing a tweet about how good these dumplings are. I don't think I should share where we are right now.
I literally was going to send it while I was sitting there. Because this is something else. I'm way more famous in New Zealand than I am here in the United States.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere I was going in Wellington, there were people like, oh, you're going to fly more planes with Peter Jackson?
Excellent.
It's just, it was very, very sweet. Oh, but because I'd eaten, I did not eat on the flight home.
Oh.
And the flight attendants are, New Zealand Air flight attendants are just stellar. But they get real little wigged out when you take nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When you're like, I'll just have a piece of garlic bread, please. And the tea is fine. And I don't even need tea. I just had water for most of the flight. And they get very hovery and nervous about you when you don't eat anything.
Well, I think they realize for 11 o'clock flight or 11-hour flight, some people, if they don't take the food, they will get cranky later on.
Oh.
And it becomes a problem for them.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Hangry customers must be an awful part of the job.
Yeah.
Long-haul international flight attendants are,
you
are
gotta keep them
definitely...
Fed.
Yeah, the don't wear capes heroes of our time.
Just another shout out. I don't know if it's even still up, but customershaming.com, which is a website where flight attendants share their own horror stories and pictures of the nastiest toenails that people stick into the windows. And
yeah.
There used to be a really great, it's probably still up, but it's a pilot blog that tells like the pilot horror stories.
Yeah.
It's the place of the famous... I think it was a FedEx flight that they had to emergency land because somebody dumped the cooler with dry ice instead of regular ice into the chemical toilet.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it like foamed up the entire back of the plane. Cause the chemical toilit stuff, but
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
I love those kind of industry specific
yes,
nightmare
right,
blogs.
Right, yeah,
they're
yeah.
really good.
Before we continue on with the show, I want to let you know that support for Still Entitled comes this week from Microsoft Surface, introducing the new Microsoft Surface Laptop 3. With its beautiful touchscreen, you'll experience stunning graphics with razor-sharp resolution. Now available with a 13.5 or 15-inch screen. And with the latest processors, there's no project the Surface Laptop can't handle. It's both light and powerful, so you can get more done on the go. Visit surface.com/laptop3 to learn more. That's surface.com/laptop3. Now back to the show.
Speaking of plumbing.
Yeah, you guys did. Like, I came in to a scene.
You came in at 11 to do this podcast.
Yeah.
And we were like, we're going to have to pause. And you were like, I have a heart out.
I'm such a pain in the ass.
No,
I know.
No,
it's okay.
We have all done this.
I know.
And
I
you
know.
Said, today I have a heart out. And we said, this plumbing repair should take 10 minutes.
And I thought, I've heard this before.
And then how long did it take?
About 8 minutes. Yeah, you guys really hammered through it. Plumbing is one of those things, it's a nightmare. Like, you can get into real trouble in no time.
Well, the thing is that it's deceptively simple, but the stakes are often quite high.
Yeah.
The stakes
are incredibly high.
They get wet and wild in a hurry.
Well, and you, like your minimum cost of a expert emergency repair for a plumber in the Bay Area is between $500 and $1,000 in my experience.
It's real. Yeah.
And your experience may vary.
Yeah.
Your success with those people that you call.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all about having the right parts. And lining them up. So, but there's always something you don't expect. Like, you know, you'll turn off the water and you think it's only going to be for 10 minutes. But as you're trying to undo the spigot that you're about to replace on the system, the nipple holding it on cracks. And all of a sudden you have to pull out the welder and weld a thing to that and then spray some Croil on there and let it soak for an hour. And then you can hit it with a mallet and slowly you start to, like, I've been there with all of that stuff. That's what you pay an expert for. They can see those mistakes before you cause them, and they also go to the hardware store once, whereas every home plumber goes to the hardware store like seven times for any repair, no matter how small.
Well, so my all-time worst I've made a bad mistake plumbing error was the night before Thanksgiving. We had, I think, 20 people coming that year, so we had a table set up in the backyard for a bazillion people, and an unnamed person in our family ran a bunch of potato peels down the garbage disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And the potato,
is that bad?
It's don't put potato peels down the garbage disposal.
Oh, okay.
Potatoes are fibrous and they get
and I we know hold limes. Pipes. Limes are an absolute nightmare.
Look, here's the secret tip.
Why
here's
limes my number and one other type of citrus.
I don't know. Limes are
lime super, peels are
lime peels
bad,
are yeah. crazy fibrous. Wow.
So the number one tip that I have about plumbing is don't ever use an effing garbage disposal because they're bad for the environment. They're bad for the septic system.
Okay,
and they clog up your pipe. So.
So they use potato peels.
I had finished all of my pre-night cooking. I'm in the shower and I'm sitting there. I'm like, wow, that's weird. There's potato peels coming out of the emergency overspill drain of the tub.
Oh.
So, you know, I go get the plumbing snake as one does.
Is it long enough is the question.
It's 11 o'clock at night right now. This is where we're starting this moment. We have one bathroom in the house. We have 20 people coming the next day. So like I'm thinking if I don't fix this, we're going to cancel Thanksgiving for 20 people. So, or we'll have to move someplace else. So I get the snake, nothing, no love.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I can get it from the garbage disposal side. I take the flange off the garbage disposal and I hear a crack. And the flange that holds the outflow pipe on the garbage disposal just snapped off.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing, it's the thing that makes it seal. So I get the pipe in, I get the snake, no love. I pour the Drano at this point. I'm desperate, right? Whatever I can do. I go back in. I start snaking further. And I'm like literally I'm at the holding the end of the snake with a vice grip to turn it because I've run out of line and I feel it bite. And I'm like, oh, thank God. So I finally pull it out. But then I have to fix the leaky garbage disposal in the only kitchen sink we have. The only way we can do dishes. Yeah. It was a disaster. The upshot is
at that point, you have to buy a new garbage disposal.
But it's 4 o'clock in the morning at this point on Thanksgiving Day.
Home Depot.
Really? They're open 24?
Some Home Depots are open 24/7.
I
had a job once where I went to Home Depot at 2 in the morning, again at 4 in the morning.
Oh, God. I got the epoxy, the two-sided stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
jammed the flange back in there and then glued the gasket into place. And it's still not leaking. So,
oh, wow. Right.
Yeah, okay. That was 2 years ago now.
At this point, 25 years ago. I was living down at the end of Hunter's Point on Yosemite Street. Now, denizens of Hunter's Point will know Yosemite is where the police station is. There was no police station there back when I lived there. I think there's even a big box store down there. No, but I was in this mattress factory. And
like you lived in the mattress factory?
I lived in a loft in a big open space, 2,200 square feet. And it wasn't meant for living, so there was just a water pipe sticking out of the floor. So I attached that water pipe and I brazed it to a water heater and I lived out my fantasy of living inside the movie Diva, which I don't know if you've ever seen. And I had a bathtub in the middle of my living room.
That sounds awesome.
And it was fabulous. Yeah. And then after we'd been there about a year, the heating element blew out. And I actually knew enough to test its continuity, see that it had blown out. I turned off the water. I removed the heating element. Spec'd the one that I needed to get and planned to get it the next morning. And what I didn't know was that while I thought I'd shut the water off, I hadn't.
Oh, you turned it on?
I'd turned it off mostly, but it slowly filled the water heater and then leaked out the hole where the heater wasn't because I had pulled it out. And I woke up to 2 inches of water in my entire loft. But it's okay because I live above a clothing warehouse. you know, cut loose clothing over here on, Valencia. They used to have their storage warehouse underneath my loft space.
Well, at least it absorbed all the water.
Oh my God. I mean, it was like, so I am using one of those, you know, slop mop buckets. And I think we went through 40 to pick up all the water.
2,000 square feet. Of 2 inches of water. That is an unbelievable amount of water.
And running into the, like, I'm shoving rags to keep it from running down the hole into the clothing factory. And they're banging on the door and we're like, we're sorry. Oh, that was,
that's a bad day.
I still have a picture of me and my ex-brother-in-law standing with like rags on our heads and shirtless in this terrible aftermath.
God, what a nightmare.
But this is home plumbing. We all have those stories.
We, once upon a time, we had a Thanksgiving. All of our stuff happens at Thanksgiving. We had a Thanksgiving where we were the upstairs unit in a two-bedroom loft, and the downstairs neighbors had gone to their families for Thanksgiving. But something, they had left something in the sink or something. Like, shit runs downhill.
Yeah, it does.
And our dishwater from Thanksgiving aftermath was coming up their sink. And it just, it was a disaster. It was, in fairness, that was way worse for them than it was for us. We didn't get along super well with the downstairs neighbors after that. I don't understand why, really.
Hilarious.
Yeah, plumbing's great.
What else is going on?
Well, you're doing more travel. I mean, this is going to be a crazy month of travel.
It is
going to
be a crazy month.
You're going to C2E2.
This weekend in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where Thing 2 lives.
Yeah.
And then I will be sliding back through Denver where Thing 1 lives because, my boys turned 21 recently.
Wow.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Wow. They were,
I know,
13, I think, when we first met them.
Yeah. Math checks out.
Yeah. That's amazing.
2014?
2012.
Yeah. 2012.
Oh, in 2012. Yeah. They were 13 years old. 13. You're right.
Yeah. Wow. And then you will be, we're not doing a, like, the test, most tests team aren't going, but there will be something to reveal.
There will be something to reveal.
And we'll have, we have videos related to those. I mean, it's, I'm sorry for being so cryptic, but you will not be disappointed.
And you will not have to wait too long.
And you won't have to wait too long.
Is
you will
this
see
weekend?
Some cool stuff.
Okay.
Yes, that is this weekend. Hey, also, like, I completely forgot because we were in New Zealand for a whole week, but literally the Thursday, morning before
Thursday,
you flew
forgot,
out.
We buried the lead.
That we went backstage to Hamilton.
That video is incredible. It was really fun.
So we did four videos. So I can even tell you what they are. And the first one that's out, Adam got to chat with the prop master and you
so
got
so much fun.
When we were chatting with the press people and we're like, oh, we want to cover Hamilton. Of course, the first thing we think are costumes and we'll be doing something with that eventually. But they're like, what about props? And in my head, I'm like, Hamilton isn't known for props, but yet there are so many.
There are tons of props.
There are so many props in that show.
There's a huge cabinet of just the paper props.
That was the coolest thing.
I know. That was awesome.
In the cabinet, I mean, there's a shot of it in the video. Like they have to remake the paper. Right. And the guy's like, we have specifically 65 sheets of the Reynolds pamphlet.
And they chose all these specific pieces of paper. Like the when she burns the letter.
Yeah.
That's a specific type of paper.
They tested that.
Tons and tons of different
because they
paper.
Know for the duration of burn. Sorry, but the song, how much they could burn. Because the actress has to be holding it.
Yeah.
It's the one piece that actually lights on fire on the show.
Wow.
It's the only real candle in the show.
Yes.
So that's not the lead that I thought we were bearing. But yeah. And we have three more of those videos.
Just the ropes. There are hundreds of ropes and they're all specific.
Well, and that's also that's a modern rail. That's a modern, wonderful theater rail.
The like, dueling pistols.
Yeah.
I got to see the dueling pistols.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
No, the lead that I was thinking we were bearing, which because we also announced on Thursday that I'm the creative director of Silicon Valley Comic Con, heretofore in the future known as Silicon.
Yeah. I think it's a great name. I do too.
I do too.
It took a minute for me to like attach to it and be like, No, okay.
Here's the brain process. You hear Silicon Valley Comic Con is changing its name, and you think, okay, how could that go? And then you hear Silicon, and you're like, it's very much the sort of first thing most people would think of, which means that could it actually be good? It is actually good. It actually communicates. It works. It tracks. It scans. Let's do it. And so, yeah, I had the same thing. I thought, that actually is great.
I'm in.
So there will be ongoing announcements and coverage of this as we progress towards the October, the latter half of October dates for Silicon. You can sign up right now and we'll put some links below. But for the broadest picture, One of the reasons we've been going every year since its inception is because Silicon, in addition to the wonderful pop culture tracks and the celebrity panels that you can expect at any given con, they've also put a heavy focus into maker culture and tech and also science.
Yeah.
This isn't to say that other cons don't also prioritize those, because it's one of the great things about the cons is that bleed through of all of our favorite things in one place.
You just listed some things, some topics that we are, well, very interested in.
Exactly.
Science and making norm?
To your newsletter.
Yes. And so just suffice to say, I'm very excited about putting together some really specific panels on pop culture, on science, on making, on technology, in order to really widen and deepen the con experience with all the stuff that we love.
And I think that's the big story here, is not just that you're putting your name on it and you're going to be there for the duration and have a bigger presence as creative director. You know, you're going to be actually initiating these tracks.
You're programming.
Yes. Yeah. And that's really exciting, because we have point of view, and we feel really simpatico with the entire team of Silicon. We have the same aims. That's just feels like we're firing on all cylinders. So I'm really excited what this year portends for that.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's rad.
And again, like, there's a lot more to say about it, but I think that's enough.
But I think people out there, if you, you know, one, you should go. But if people want to pitch us things, feel free to reach out. We're open to ideas for tracks and things. And
what's the best way to do that? Twitter?
Twitter. Email. Okay. Email.
One of the things is very specifically within maker culture. I want a deeper dive into the sharing economy that is maker culture.
What on earth is that?
Was that my Siri? Oh, Siri, somehow I said something that she thought. Stop. Anyway, yes, maker cosplay, the open source sharing economy of the cosplay community and the maker community. I love when those two intersect on this deep level, and we plan to help.
So you want to see some places where people could come and take the hard-earned lessons and share them with other people so that they are less hard-earned.
Yeah, because what have we been doing the last few years? But just covering wonderful innovations by all sorts of different people working in their shops across the country. It's time to codify more and more of that sharing of information.
I love that.
Yeah.
Before we wrap, I want to give one more shout out. We were there in Wellington for a full week, and we only got basically one day, the last day before we left, to do a little bit of walking around. And, you know, we stay at a hotel that's very close to the Te Papa Museum, and the Te Papa Museum is highly recommended as always. They have the Scale of Our War Gallipoli exhibit, which is, I believe, running at least through 2023. This is putting together these six large-scale 2.4x humans, these diorama pieces about the soldiers and the people who participated in Gallipoli. But they also have this exhibit running through March 8th that's about Alice in Wonderland. It was created by the Australian Center for Moving Image, basically the Aussie version of the New York Museum of the Moving Image, which any institution that celebrates, you know, cinema and television and computer games. And this is about Alice in Wonderland. It's called Wonderland. It's there through March 8th. Highly recommended.
Is it any particular version or all versions?
It's 40 different portrayals of Alice through the history of cinema, because the story of Alice predates cinema. And it's surreal. It's interactive. They have projection mapping. And it's at the Te Papa till March 8th.
That's amazing.
Awesome. I hope it travels.
Yeah, it's been to a couple places, but I hope it comes stateside too.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
To my friend Peter Beck up there in north of the North Island, Peter, I'm sorry I did not get up to see your rockets this time. I really plan to carve out an extra couple of days the next time I come to New Zealand. I promise I will come.
Cool. We'll be back.
Yes, we will be back. We will be back before
you
tomorrow.
Just relocate tested to.
I think we need the satellite office. Yeah. I think it's totally clear to everybody.
Look, I'm available. I can go down there if you want. Just say the word. We'll pack up the family.
Weta is a dog friendly workplace times a million, and so I got lots of dog love, including Richard Taylor's new beautiful dog Lottie.
Ooh.
Who I made best friends with.
Good snuggles.
Yeah. She spent a lot of time just hanging out on my lap, and
Will, what's going on new in your world?
New episode of Tech Pod is out this week. It's a Q&A episode. We made a ranking of Windowses over the last 2 weeks. Windowses. We started with Windows 3.0, maybe 3.1, and went all and talked through. It was interesting to go through and talk through 25, 30 years of of, you know, what was the dominant operating system for a really long time, still is.
Yeah.
And how things have changed, and watch what's gotten better and what's gotten worse as Microsoft went from selling a packaged good that you can install on your computer to shipping a software as a service that is, you know, maybe not as awesome as just buying a thing and maybe not being the customer. So anyway, you can find that at techpod.content.town.
Cool. All right. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, bye, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Norm here. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And before I let you go, I need your help. Tested and Still Entitled needs your help. In order to keep this show going, we need the help of great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are the ones you actually want to hear about. So please go to podsurvey.com/untitled and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can make sure that we're bringing on advertisers who are relevant to you. And once you've completed this quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Once again, that's podsurvey.com/untitled. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for your continued support. Really appreciate you filling out this survey, and we'll see you next time.